te vasudevaya. Reading from Gansara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, entitled The Appearance of Sri Narada. Text 12. Shivaya Lokasya Bhavaya Bhutaye. Ya uttama shloka parayana jana jivanti natmartam aso parashrayam mimocha nirvidya kuta. Word for word, please repeat. Shivaya, welfare. Lokasya, of all living beings. Bhavaya, for flourishing. Bhutaye, for economic development. Ye, one who is. Uttama shloka parayana, devoted to the cause of the personality of Godhead. Jana, men. Jivanti, do live. Na, not. Atma artam, selfish interest. Aso, that. Para ashrayam, shelter for others. Mimocha, gave up. Nirvidya, being freed from all attachment. Kuta, for what reason? Kalevaram, mortal body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Those who are devoted to the cause of the personality of Godhead live only for the welfare, development and happiness of others. They do not live for any selfish interest. So even though the emperor, Parikshit, was free from all attachment to worldly possessions, how could he give up his mortal body, which was shelter for others? Purport. Parikshit Maharaj was an ideal king and householder because he was a devotee of the personality of Godhead. A devotee of the Lord automatically has all good qualifications. And the emperor was a typical example of this. Personally, he had no attachment for all the worldly opulences in his possession. But since he was a king for the all-round welfare of his citizens, he was always busy in the welfare work of the public, not only for this life, but also for the next. He would not allow slaughterhouses or killing of cows. He was not a foolish and partial administrator who would arrange for the protection of one living being and allow another to be killed. Because he was a devotee of the Lord, he knew perfectly well how to conduct his administration for everyone's happiness, men, animals, plants, and all living creatures. He was not selfishly interested. Selfishness is either self-centered or self-extended. He was neither. His interest was to please the Supreme Truth, Personality of Godhead. The king is the representative of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the king's interest must be identical with that of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord wants all living beings to be obedient to him and thereby become happy. Therefore the king's interest is to guide all subjects back to the kingdom of God. Hence, the activities of the citizens should be coordinated that they can at the end go back home, back to Godhead. Under the administration of a representative king, the kingdom is full of opulence. At that time, human beings need not eat animals. There are ample food grains, milk, fruits and vegetables, so that human beings as well as the animals can eat sumptuously. and to their heart's content. If all living beings are satisfied with food and shelter and obey the prescribed rules, there cannot be any disturbance between one living being and another. Emperor Parikshit was a worthy king, and therefore all were happy during his reign. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agnatimbarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kurochi Bachalam Bhangum Nagate Gurim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurundinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the point I want to focus on from this verse in purport this morning is this act of selflessness which Emperor Parikshit was very much an example of. He lived for the welfare, it said here, he lived only for the welfare, development and happiness of others. So actually this is the qualification of a devotee of the Lord, that he lives for the welfare of others. Not so much caring for his own personal comfort and needs, but he goes out of his way to bring others to understand the ultimate goal of life. Sabai pung sung puro damo yato bhaktir hoksaje ahaituya pityata ye ma subsidity. That the supreme occupation is that by which man can attain loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So, how do we become selfless? It's a very important question. Human form of life is meant for austerity. No matter whether one is a staunch materialist or a spiritual practitioner, you know, we have to perform austerity. Like, I remember when I was a young kid, you know, my dad, he used to get up at 4:30 every morning to go to the office, leave the house by 5 o'clock, you know, and spend all day and come back at 6 o'clock in the evening. And what an austerity, you know, but what was that austerity for? It was just to maintain a family, you know, just to see to the needs, the sense gratification of his children and extended family, or those that were close to him. And ultimately, the austerity that the materialists perform, it's for, it's always ends up in frustration. You know, they perform austerity to accumulate money, or to please others, and ultimately the material energy always lets them down. Either they lose the money, it's stolen from them. You know, we know Lakshmi is chanchala, she's very flickering, she doesn't stay in one place for too long. So if we have money, it's only a matter of time before we lose it. Actually there's a There's a nice quote by Chanakya Pandit. He says, Lakshmi, she willingly resides in a place where there is a good stock of grains. And where the husband and wife do not quarrel. There's another place as well, but it escapes me at the moment. So austerity has to be there. But the austerity performed by the devotees of the Lord to become purified oneself of these anartas that are situated within the heart, lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion. Now, so we can, purity is the force. When we have purity, then we can actually affect the hearts of others. So the first austerities that we perform are following the four regulative principles. You know, these are the first austerities that we perform when we come to devotional service, right? You know, no eating of meat, fish or eggs, no intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex. And this doesn't actually make someone advanced in spiritual life. These rules and regulations just bring one to the platform of a human being. You know, actually the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, that's what brings us to the transcendental platform. And how should this chanting be done? It should be done with the utmost attention, very carefully. You know, the Srila Rupa Goswami says in the 7th verse of Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, that the holy name of Krishna is transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. No, but one who is afflicted by the jaundice of ignorance cannot taste anything sweet. But gradually, by carefully chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, a natural taste awakens within the tongue, and the disease is gradually destroyed at the root. Now, so this chanting of the Hare Krishna, this is what gives us the shakti, the purity, to affect the hearts of others. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, we are inviting Krishna to reside within our heart, to manifest himself on our tongue. You know, there's that other verse by Rupa Goswami. You know, he says, Tunde tandavani ratim vitanute tundavali latai kana krada kadambani gadayate kanabade vyasbraham cheta prangana sangani vijayate sarvendriyanam kritam no jate. The last line escapes me. But he says that when I chant the holy name of Krishna, the holy name, it dances within the mouth. I then desire many, many mouths. When the holy name enters the holes of the ears, I desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name enters the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. So this austerity that we perform to rise in the Brahma Muhurta, the very early in the morning before sunrise, to chant the holy names with rapt attention. So this is what gives us the purity. And then when we take this, all the hearing and chanting that we've accumulated from the morning program, when we take that out to do our service, you know, whether it be serving prasadam, you know, preaching, not that there's any difference between serving prasadam and preaching, it's the same, but book distribution or anything, you know, even offering artic to the deities. You know, we have to be very, very exemplary. You know, have a very high standard of cleanness, pure in minds when we offer the articles to the Supreme Lord in His form as a deity. And so when we take all this hearing and chanting from the morning program, and then we associate with those who are afflicted with this material disease, yeah, then that will affect their heart. You know, they will see that there is something different, you know, in these people. You know, there is something very special there. You know, why are these people always happy? You know, one devotee said this because we eat so much sugar. But yeah, we know the real fact that it's this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. You know, it's very Susikam Kartamavya. It's very joyfully performed. So this selfless activities that we perform, this mood of outreach to help the conditioned souls take shelter of the Supreme Lord, this is the most selfless activity one can perform. And actually, this very much endears one to the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. So coming up in the next week or so, we have the yearly Srila Prabhupada book marathon. So we have a wonderful opportunity, no matter what service we're doing, even if we're staying at the temple all day, you know, and doing service around. So many people come to the temple. You know, we can talk to them, encourage them to take Prabhupada's books, encourage them to sponsor some Prabhupada's books for help others. You know, there's so many different ways we can engage conditioned souls in the Sankirtan movement, in book distribution. You know, there's even stories of, and it's happened to me actually, when I was in Auckland, New Zealand, I stopped one guy from Scotland. And we were talking, and he said, you know, I showed him the Bhagavad Gita, and he goes, yeah, I've got this book, it's really good. And we were talking, and suddenly he saw this guy coming down the street, and he just stopped him and said, hey mate, yeah, you should take one of these books, they're great. You know, and the guy took the book and gave a donation. You know, he took a bag of a Gita and gave $10. And just spontaneously, you know, so it's pretty amazing, you know, how sometimes actually we hear Lord Chaitanya, you know, if he sees someone favorably inclined, you know, he forces them to engage in devotional service. You know, it's the special feature of Lord Chaitanya, you know, that he forces the mercy upon the conditioned souls. So so distributing books, uh, We hear that all service is absolute, and that is a fact. You know, you can get the same results from scrubbing the floor in the temple room to distributing books. The same amount of mercy is there. But the special function of book distribution is that the mercy drops quicker. It's not that the same amount of mercy you can get by fully applying yourself to book distribution in one day may take you several months or even a year to, but you still get the same amount of mercy. In that way, devotional service is absolute, it's transcendental. But you know, there's that special function of book distribution. So we should be greedy for this mercy. We should develop this lobha. You know, when we develop this greed, this is actually what propels us forward in devotional service. Okay, so I'll stop there. Is there any questions or comments or anything anyone would like to add? Yes. Yeah, it's good to be greedy, but it's also good not to offend others by stealing their service. So, yeah, that greed and enthusiasm, it's good to be there and it's good to develop, but we don't want to like hurt, like if devotees have their mind set on a particular service, they're very attached to it, you know, we just go in and rip it away from them. You know, it could be Krishna saying that to that devotee, then not to be so attached to that particular service, but still we should respect that they desire to do that service. They have a desire to do that service. Communication is essential. Actually, it's why the main reason why there are any problems between devotees is because of a lack of communication. That is a fact. That is a fact. So we can never communicate enough. And actually, when we communicate, you know, it helps us to become more personal, you know, more, and then developing relationships as well. That's what Bhakti Yoga is all about, developing relationships, right? You know, if we can't even become personal with each other, how can we become personal with Krishna? And so yeah, this greed, you know, it has to be there, so that's what propels us forward in devotional service, but we also have to be personal as well. You know, like, understand that devotees, they have feelings, they have, you know, attachments to devotional service, that, you know, if they lose, then it can be very painful if devotees are very attached to their service, you know, and they get it ripped away from them by someone, then yeah. You have a question? I understand. Yeah, so I mean, it's difficult to, I mean, so many devotees have different ways of like presenting and dealing with others, presenting Krishna consciousness and dealing with others. But generally, like it, for myself, you know, if I'm talking to the opposite sex, hands off. You know, I don't touch them at all. And I just try to be friendly, and it's not so proper for any book distributors, male book distributors, to touch the opposite sex, and even in friendly joking. Yeah, that's right. No, it's good to get these things so everyone knows. It's best not to do that, eh? And also, unless like if one might see an experienced book distributor, he's been doing it for many years, you know, and he might gently, you know, as a joke, slap a lady on the shoulder or something, you know, like he just crack a joke and he gently tap them on the shoulder, and then friendly joking, but the mood should be in the right way. You know. It's not that. You should make the opposite sex feel uncomfortable. No, that's okay. Yeah, I mean, if a devotee has, devotees have strong desires to help others, you know, understand this knowledge, they have, of course we should do it in a very palatable way. It's not to have the opposite effect, you know, scare them away. Again, the right mood, time, place, and circumstance, I think, is very important. Is that okay? Casper, do you have something? Okay, Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandini.